This is Family Court Vision,
the podcast where a man and his mom discuss all things basketball.
On today's episode, we have mid-season awards for the W. Is it possible to have an all-Liberty slate in those awards? We might come close.
Mm-hmm.
Also in M and WNBA news. So at the WNBA All-Star game, Candace Parker was mic'd and she was heard to say, "Man, they let anybody ref this game." And it sounds like from the finals in the MNBA, that might be true there too. And finally, spoiler alert for our movie of the week, Sunset Park. How do I know Sunset Park is a bad movie? I'm a woman. I got eyes.
Good one. That one of your best. The one 2 weeks ago was really good. Mm-hmm. This one is right up there with that one. Mm-hmm. So good.
You know, maybe you'll have to rank those at the end of the our season.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll go back and rank them all. But yeah, great episode. Big basketball Wednesday leads to a big pod on Thursday. Thanks for being here. Let's boogie.
Welcome to episode 29 of Family Court Vision. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, July 15th.
Two Thursday episodes in a row.
Life gets in the way.
This time, basketball got in the way.
That's right. Basketball life. Hashtag basketball life.
That's a good point. Hashtag basketball life. We had a big basketball Wednesday, so we decided that we wanted to record on Thursday instead so that we could talk about everything that happened on Wednesday. So that's where we're at now.
That's good. You know, otherwise we might have had an episode that clocks in under 70 minutes.
That's right. Yeah.
And who wants that?
How could we ever dare? I don't know how this happened. Like our first episode or two, they were like an hour 15. They were long. And then we were like, we got to cut this down. I mean, in the first episode, I think we had four segments. Now we do three. Mm-hmm. And then for a while, they were coming in at, you know, 50 minutes, something like that. But the last like four have all been over an hour. So
you mean like during the playoffs and finals?
Yeah. I don't know what could cause that. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, follow your own personal Twitter account, and that in itself could probably take an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah I
you're a passionate basketball person.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. I admire that.
I tweet a lot about it. I watch a lot of basketball, and I also have a basketball podcast. I'm not sure if you've listened or not.
You do have one of those.
Yeah.
So the past two Saturdays and this coming Saturday are like all sports all the time for me. I'm not someone like I've never played sports. I've never watched sports, but it's all sports all the time. We went to the Liberty game.
Two Saturdays. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Last Saturday, we went to the Mets single admission doubleheader. I only stayed for the first one. I had plans, but that was, you know, baseball. That was big stuff.
And sweltering.
Then this coming Saturday, Space Jam.
Perfect. I'm glad he was on that one.
So, Jack, we in the family, we have like a side bet going on.
What is that?
That you're actually going to see Space Jam before you drive out here to us to see Space Jam. Is that happening?
It's already in the works.
We knew it. It wasn't actually a bet because I think we all bet that you were seeing it before you were going to see it with us.
Yeah. I'm actually seeing it that same day.
Twice that day?
Yeah.
Where?
In Manhattan. A long time ago, I told our listener, Evan S.
Evan S?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That we would go see Space Jam when it came out, like a year ago, probably.
And he remembered.
And he remembered. So we're going to do that on Saturday. And then I'm coming to you guys and we're going to do it all again on Saturday.
Wow.
But I know people in your household, maybe not you, I don't know, but also wanted to see Space Jam with me. So.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to double it up. And spoiler alert, we'll probably post it on the Instagram. I'm going to come decked out, just so you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Are you bringing Yolola Brown with you?
I am. That's just one. That's just one piece of it. So perfect. Get ready.
Some cosplay going on.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. I'm ready.
Anything new with you real quick before we get into stuff?
Not really. This past week was your sister's birthday, and she had a fun day in the city at the Harry Potter store and the Lego store. She went to the new drama bookshop. So lots of
just being excited for her.
Yeah, other side intensive interests were covered that day. That's it.
Cool. All right, let's get into our first segment of the day, which is basketball news of the week.
Basketball news of the week. So we had, finals.
The finals, yeah.
Suns versus Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2-2 now?
It sure is. Yeah, after last night.
And so if the Suns win two more, then my prediction comes true, right? Suns in six?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
All right. So they have to just win the next two.
Yeah.
So last night was a game. We're going to talk in a few minutes about the WNBA All-Star game. And the finals was on after that. I was a little tapped. There was a little too much basketball in one night. So I didn't pay that much attention to the finals. But it was on in the same room as me. And then at the end of the game, I looked up and the Suns were losing. What happened?
Yeah, they were leading for most of the game. It was by no means a blowout. They were up by, you know, between 5 and 10 for most of the game. And then the last like 6 minutes of the game got pretty crazy. We had an all-time play. Giannis blocked an alley-oop. DeAndre Ayton was trying to dunk it. And Giannis, who was guarding the passer, who was Devin Booker, turned around, jumped up, and timed his jump, and with, you know, complete accuracy, was able to block the dunk, which was second greatest finals block of all time, I think, because it was huge. It was in a big moment. We also had Devin Booker from the Suns was compiling fouls throughout the game, and had 5 fouls, and Drew Holiday from the Bucks got a fast break and was going up for a layup. And Devin Booker, not a smart play, took the foul. Like, he was purposely fouling Drew Holiday to try to stop him from making the basket.
Yeah.
So that would... It was a foul. It was probably 2 different fouls on the same play by Devin Booker. Obvious fouls. He was trying to foul him. That would have been his 6th foul. He would have been out of the game for the last 3 minutes.
But not called.
No call from the ref. Yeah. And so
I have on my little list of things to talk about refs missed calls.
Yeah.
Cause I was going to ask you what that was all about, but you just told me. So.
Yeah, it was one of the most egregious things that I've ever seen, because there's this general feeling in the NBA and among fans that the stars of the game get a better whistle. And when it gets late towards the end of games, maybe they don't get called on fouls cause we don't want to kick the stars out of the games. And this was like, it wasn't even like, oh, could go either way. Like, that was probably a foul. It was like, he was saying, like, I'm fouling this guy to try to stop him from getting a layup, and didn't get called for it. Luckily, the Bucks still got a layup out of it, but Devin Booker should have been out of the game at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
From that point forward, he also then fouled PJ Tucker on a layup, also took an intentional a foul towards the end. So he had about 9 fouls in this game, in the game in which he's supposed to have 6. And he never got fouled out. He never got his 6th foul.
That's the kind of stuff I expect to see in Space Jam this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Crazy physicality. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that?
Mm-hmm. And the bad guys not being called on fouls. I'm not saying Devin Booker's a bad guy. I'm just saying in Space Jam, that's what I'm expecting to see.
Yeah. And so this is what makes the replay system so terrible, is that we can have a 6-minute review on a little ticky-tack 50-50 play in the second quarter that doesn't mean anything, but this clearly missed call that has a huge impact on the game. If Devin Booker is out of the game, the Bucks have a much better chance of winning. Now, of course, they did win anyway, but we can't review that. Just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Giannis, in my mind, became the best player in the world last night.
Wow.
The best men's player in the world last night.
Okay, there you go.
Yes.
What did he do? What happened? Is he still taking his extremely long foul shot?
He is. Clock? He okay. is. And at home, where there's less hostility about that, he has been shooting the free throws a little better. Mm-hmm. But even with that, even with some holes in his game, mm-hmm. he's shown that he is just unstoppable, 100% consistent. He had, many people are like, he had an off offensive night last night. He had 26, I think he went for 26, 14, and 8. Any other player in the league that's like, wow, you had a great game. And he had, and he's probably the best defensive player in the league. This is something that, like, everybody's like, oh, KD might be the best player now. Maybe Steph. Maybe it's still LeBron. But the thing that sets Giannis apart is that he's also, at the least, a top three defender in the league. Those other guys are nowhere close to that, evidenced by that huge block. So he's just, I think he's, win or lose this series, he's taken a step forward, and he's, in my mind, shown himself as the clear front runner in that, in the league. So
did I call him for MVP?
I believe that you did. I believe you called a three-peat MVP. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which he didn't get, but probably deserved it looking back. Mm-hmm. So you were right.
There's a finals MVP though, right? So maybe that
there is. Yeah.
Not likely that.
No, if the Bucks win, he's definitely winning that. Absolutely. Okay. So, okay. So yeah. On the other side of the ball, Chris Paul, bad game. 10 points, 5 turnovers. He's somebody who's known for taking good care of the basketball and not turning the ball over, and he had 5 turnovers last night. So he just, I mean, just quite simply, he was not good enough. Mm-hmm. I expect him to be much better in game 5, but yeah, he just was not good enough.
So when is game 5?
Game 5 is on Saturday night. So we are, I didn't realize when we scheduled our Space Jam viewing.
Oh my goodness.
I because they're doing something where they have most of the games in the finals are, there's 3 games rest, where every other game for the entire season in playoffs, there's been just, it's been 48 hours. So I was messed up by the schedule and accidentally scheduled this. I'm rooting for the Suns, and I still think the Suns are going to win, but I was hardcore rooting for the Bucks last night because I didn't want there to be a closeout game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Now nobody's going to take it home on Saturday when we miss it. So
you won't be as upset.
Right. So I could just,
because we did offer you an earlier showtime.
Yes. So yes.
That didn't work for you.
I wasn't even thinking that there would be a finals game then. So, but I'm excited. I'll have basketball that day. I can go back after and watch that game. And a champion will not be crowned on Saturday. So that's good in my mind.
Okay.
Anything else on the finals for you?
Not on the finals.
So we're getting down to it. I mean, by the time we record next, there could be a champion crowned.
Because Saturday is a game, and then I guess Tuesday maybe?
Tuesday, yeah, would be game 6. So if I'm
right.
Either way, whether it's the Bucks win the next 2 or the Suns win the next 2.
True. So I could be right or wrong.
Yeah.
But if I'm right.
Then you're right. Yes, that's
right.
So yeah, finally we had a really good finals game. The first 3 were close to blowouts, weren't that close at the end. This one really came down to the wire, so it was very exciting. Okay.
Did we talk last week about Jalen Lewis, the 16-year-old who signed the $1 million contract?
I don't think we talked on the pod. I believe you and me talked outside of it, but
that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, what are the details on that again?
He signed with OTE, Overtime Elite, $1 million contract. He's 16-year-old high school junior, and they believe in him. So,
and now he's not, like, he can't start that until after he graduates high school, right?
I don't know the details. I would assume so.
Yeah.
That's you know, chancy. I mean, I guess Overtime Elite has a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. We talked at the beginning of the season that they've started this G League developmental team, and now Overtime is creating sort of a third option for college, this G League route, or this Overtime League for the top high school players. So,
yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's ridiculous that an 18-year-old who people want to pay for their skills can't be paid by one of those options. So now there are other options being put out on the table. So that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as Team USA goes, I just heard that Bradley Beal will be missing the Olympics.
Yeah, this just health dropped.
Health and safety protocol.
Yeah.
Does health and safety protocol mean COVID?
I'm guessing. I don't know if that means... I'm assuming that means he tested positive. If it's the same rules as the NBA, because mm-hmm. if it was just he had a contact, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if he's vaccinated or not, but like I would assume he'd be back and ready within mm-hmm. the next 1 or 2 weeks, which I mm-hmm. think would give him enough time to be ready for the Olympics. But if this is a positive test for him, that probably means that he's out at least 2 weeks. And
yeah,
so yeah. Very sad.
Dad just told me that the Yankees game tonight is canceled because of COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know the details on that, but that's what Dad just told me right before I walked into my studio for this recording.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's important for us to remember that, you know, this isn't over yet. There's still people getting this and being very sick and dying from this. So it's very serious.
I have a friend my age, a little younger than me, but about my age, fully vaxxed, and she just tested positive.
Yeah.
She's feeling okay. But she tested positive.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, scary, sad for Bradley Beal. I don't think he's been to an Olympics before. So, mm-hmm. But he is, I forget how old he is. He's either late 20s or early 30s. So hopefully he has another shot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that puts Team USA in a bad spot because he was starting for them.
Yeah.
And they've already not looked great.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their first two exhibition games to Nigeria and Australia. Which were surprises. I think I saw something that, like, since Team USA started allowing NBA players to play, they lost one exhibition game from that point until, like, 2018.
Oh.
And then from 2018 to now, they've lost three, including two, you know, last week.
Wow. Is that because more NBA players are playing on non-USA teams?
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. One is that, and like in general, I think the international basketball community is catching up with America. Mm-hmm. You know, if you take the top 15 players in the NBA, there's probably 6 or 7 of them are non-Americans. Now, the problem with that is they're not all from the same country, so they can't all compete together. But there are multiple NBA players on each of these teams now, which that didn't used to be the case.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it. And then I also think that this Team USA this year, is not the best pool of American players.
Mm.
Kevin Durant is awesome. He's great. And Damian Lillard is awesome. He's great. But after that, like, the next best American players, LeBron isn't there, AD isn't there, Kawhi isn't there, Paul George isn't there. And that's just, you know, that's just from the two LA teams. So, and you know, and that's due to injuries and these two crazy COVID seasons and everything that people don't want to play. And LeBron's probably too old anyway now.
And, you know, he's got to plug his movie this summer.
Yeah, this summer he's focused on something else. Yes. So I think it's a combination of things. But they did win their third exhibition pretty handily against Argentina. Okay. So I'm not worried for the Olympics, but there's definitely going to be closer games than there have been in the past.
All right.
In my mind.
All right. So speaking of Kawhi Leonard, what's up?
That's a great question about Kawhi Leonard all the time, because it seems like we hardly ever know. Yeah, Kawhi had he had some sort of injury in the series against the Jazz, and then he was out for the rest of that series and out for the entire series against the Suns, and we knew it was a knee, but we didn't know anything else. And then a month later, we find out it was a partially torn ACL and that he has had surgery on it. we think that the surgery was recent. It wasn't right when the injury happened.
But nobody told us in advance.
Right. There was nothing. And according to some sources, the Clippers themselves did not know about what was going on, which is not the first time that Kawhi has not been the best communicator with his own team.
That's awkward.
Yeah. He is an interesting character. And one that, like I said at the beginning, we never really know what's up with Kawhi. So, you know, obviously that's sad, and he's going to be out for at least a good chunk of next season, if not more. Mm. They said earliest estimates that he could return are next April, which is like...
And when does the season start? October?
It's starting back in October again. Okay. Which, if he did come back at that earliest time in April, that would put him back right before the playoffs started. And who knows if the Clippers can make the playoffs even without him. So, it was just this like crazy last minute thing. It was like, oh yeah, Kawhi was hurt. He's probably, you know, probably has something there. He'll be back in 2 weeks and it'll be fine. But he's going to be out.
Yeah.
And this has big implications for his contract situation, because he's technically a free agent right now. Mm. He has three options. He could either opt in to he has a player option that he can opt into to stay with the team for one more year. He can opt out of that and instead re-sign a much larger deal with the team, like a 4-year, you know, $100 million deal, or he could go sign with another team. So
yeah.
I don't know what this knee injury means for all of that, but.
That's kind of like Scott McKnight.
That's right. That's a great recall to our movie last week.
So maybe he needs to hire Leslie.
Yes.
I think move in with him and be his physical therapist.
Yes.
And then he'll be good to go in like 2 weeks, I think.
That's right. That's right.
So let's go.
Let's go. Leslie, get on over there. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
Coaching
news? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I haven't been paying attention to coaching news.
Yeah, it's a lot. We went like 2 weeks without any coaching news, and then a bunch just happened this week. So Jamal Mosley, who is current or was a Dallas assistant 3 days ago, is going to be hired in Orlando as their head coach. Nate McMillan was made the permanent head coach in Atlanta. He was the interim head coach. And then he took the team to the conference finals. So they said, yeah, we'll keep you around. Wes Unseld Jr., who 2 days ago was an assistant in Denver, it looks like he's going to get the Washington job. And then Willie Green, who is still currently with Phoenix, currently assistant coaching in the finals, looks like he's going to be hired in New Orleans. Hmm. So a lot of big coaching news. The big thing about this is that all four of these men are black men. Mm-hmm. I believe that's all. If those two that are like, we think that's where they're going to go, if they go there, I think that fills all the coaching spots for next year, mm-hmm. assuming there's no more coach firings. And so if that's the case, then we would have 13 black head coaches at the start of next year, where I think we had seven this year.
Okay.
So getting much better. Still not representative of the league's population. The league is about 75% black, and you would assume that coaches come from players. Mm-hmm. So, you know, still not where we need to be, and still not where we need to be on other forms of diversity, such as hiring women, but better than it was last year.
I don't remember which team, but I was just, when I was looking up the NBA news not that long ago, earlier today, it's some front office just named four new people. I can't remember which team, but two of those four people were women's names.
Oh, okay.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Again, not a lot of great news there that I can't remember what team or what positions or who the women are, but you know, that's what I bring to us here.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So getting better, not all the way there, but getting better. Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to move on to the WNBA. What about you?
I am too.
All right. So let's just get this quickly out of the way. Commissioner's Cup teams are set.
Oh, set.
They are set. So it is the Sun versus the Storm, and they're playing on August 12th in Phoenix.
Sun,
I, I, I just looked up flights to Phoenix. I don't think I'm going to be able to stretch that this year.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, maybe next time.
But that's exciting. So that's like right before everybody starts playing again for the second half of the season, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Liberty, I'm not going to see them for a month, so.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, I didn't realize that was set. Okay, cool.
Yeah, set. And the Storm and the Aces are the top two teams in the league right now.
Uh-huh, both out west. But mm-hmm.
Liberty's still in sixth.
Cool. Yeah, and
so those WNB. Oh, sorry.
Those standings will stay static until a month from now because there's no more games.
Right. So. That's right.
Yeah.
The big WNBA news was the All-Star game last night.
That's
so
right.
So just to recap, it was Team USA, which is the women's Olympic team, versus Team WNBA, which is 12 of the rest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, Team USA is going to crush. What a joke. They did not crush.
No.
Not at any point in the game did they crush.
No.
It was a pretty competitive game, so it's not like Team USA was like awful or sucked or whatever, but there was no crushing.
None at all. In fact, no winning for Team USA either.
That's right. Team WNBA. They won, what was the score? 93-85.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Much like I think many others were. I did not see that outcome happening at all.
Mm-hmm. And a huge chunk of that was because Arike Ogunbowale had to show them exactly why they should have picked her for Team USA by personally crushing them.
Yes. You could tell early on she was there on a mission.
Yes, she was.
And not only was she great in the beginning, she was great at the end. She hit two mm-hmm. huge threes towards the end of the mm-hmm. game that sealed it for them. So,
mm-hmm.
And she was the MVP.
Yeah. Our fans, we had some Twitter polls going on. So our fans picked Team USA to win. So,
yeah.
But they also picked Allie Quigley to win the 3-point contest, and she did.
Yes.
I think all of the ladies did a very respectable job.
Mm-hmm.
I was, it was very exciting. I really enjoyed that contest. But Allie won for the third year in a row.
I think
or
she
not in a row.
Yeah,
third
time. Yeah, I think she third lost time. In 2019, but
okay, third time.
But yeah, so she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was awesome, and it came down to the last shot, which was exciting too.
Yeah.
So that was great. So she beat, it was Jonquel Jones, Sammy Wickham, and Jewel Lloyd were the other three competitors in that.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the All-Star game? What did you think of the format? What did you think of festivities, that sort of thing? What did you think?
Well, there aren't as many festivities surrounding it as, a men's game or even the MLB All-Star games. That break is this week, mm-hmm. Everything was in one day. I mean, Jonquel Jones was in the game, right?
Both Jewel Lloyd and Jonquel Jones, yeah.
So they were in the game. Halftime was when the 3-point contest was, so they don't get to take a break. They just played two quarters of a game. Now they have to do the 3-point contest, and then a few minutes later they have to get back out there and play the game again. So, it's not necessarily fair that they had to work that hard all night, and it's just, compacted into one night, but I think the introductions were done well, and I think there was some good pomp and circumstance going around. So, for what people are willing to give to the WNBA, I think they did a good job with the with celebrating. And they also, the current Team USA gave flowers to the 96 team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first Olympic team, yeah.
So a lot of those ladies were there, and they brought out flowers for them, so that was very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was nice. Much like you, I think that we could expand this to 2 days. And, they can definitely do, a skills competition like the men do. Because mm-hmm. there's, mm-hmm. there's nothing different about the game. Probably can't do a dunk contest. But I'm sure there's something. I mean, this is something I tweeted out. Was that, most All-Star games in any sport, there's not real defense being played. It's all about the offense. Nobody wants to get hurt, anything like that. But the way they set it up this year, you know, some people had some real chips on their shoulder and there was real defense being played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just the shot making in this league, this is something that the women are much better than the men at.
Yes, they are.
They can just knock down shots from anywhere on the court. Doesn't matter what the defense is doing. Almost the entire first quarter, I could probably count on one hand how many shots I saw missed.
Mm-hmm.
It just create anywhere on the court, they can hit shots from. And so I'm sure you could add another event of like, you know, moving the three-point line back and having like a long-range competition, half-court shots, something like that, that you could really expand this into two separate nights and not have to make people compete in their halftime.
Yeah. I mean, just to jump back, this is still on the topic of the All-Star game, but Ogunbowale, the one thing that I noticed about her was nobody was stopping her. Nobody was capable of stopping her from making a shot. Like she got the ball and she was going there and she was going to make the shot. If you were going to be in her way, then good luck to you. Cause she just, it wasn't like, I love the moves where they're, you know, dribbling down the court. Someone's in their way. So they kind of dribble counterclockwise backwards to get away from them so they can pass it to somebody else off their other shoulder or whatever. Those are fun to watch and everything, but she didn't need to do any of that. She was just like, I'm sorry, that's my basket. I need to get to it. Excuse me.
And yeah.
Plowed right through people.
Yeah. Just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So me thinking I'd come on here and be like, this was a dumb format. Why would you set it up this way? Of course, Team USA was going to crush. It ended up that it was a really great game. And a lot of players on Team WNBA, I think, had some chips on their shoulders for not getting selected. So it made for a lot of fun. So I really liked it.
And I'm sure that it was a useful game as an exhibition game so that Team USA can practice being a team together.
Yeah, yeah.
So they could get some garbage out of the way so that they can play. You know, playing against their well-matched rivals in this game, I'm sure is very helpful for them to up their game for the Olympics. So.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to speak too early about anything, but I would expect that this is the hardest competitor that they'll be up against.
Right, as a whole team.
As a whole team over the next month. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure this was great.
Since NECA Ogwumike won't be versing them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You had some strong thoughts about that.
I did have some strong thoughts about that. So what happened?
Mm-hmm. So she was submitted on a tentative list, team list for Nigeria. Is that right? Did I say all that right?
Yeah.
Okay. But then in the end, FIBA decided, do we call them FIBA or is that just me calling them that? Is that what everybody calls them, FIBA?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. FIBA decided no, she could not play for Nigeria because she has too long of a history with Team USA.
Yes. So her sister Chine was accepted for this or approved for this. And Erica, their youngest sister, was already approved because she had already been playing with the national team with them.
I mean, she's just a doctor, so.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. And I think Elizabeth Williams of The Dream also petitioned to play with Nigeria. I guess she has Nigerian heritage as well. And it's technically not over for them. They can like appeal this and there's other avenues that they can take to try to make this happen. But this was definitely a big blow to their hopes and their chances at playing in the Olympics, which is, we talked about this a couple of times. Just really upsetting. The wording used was that they were denied because they have substantial involvement in the past with Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
But Team USA didn't include them on their team.
Right.
So,
yeah. So what's the point?
Yeah. I made a couple of Disney comparisons to this. Mm-hmm. I said Cinderella was denied the chance to marry Prince Charming because of her past substantial involvement with her evil stepmother. Because those two sentences make about the same amount of sense to me.
I enjoyed your tweets about that. I like analogies, so that was good. I like that.
Thank you. The other bad thing about this was that the news came out in the middle of the goddamn All-Star game.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether, you know, depending on who you are, that either dominates your attention and you're like, oh my God, I got to focus on this and now I'm not watching the game.
Right.
Or that gets brushed under the rug and you don't pay attention to it because you're watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe that's what they thought would happen.
Yeah.
But nobody will notice.
I will not allow that.
They're busy. Nobody will notice.
Yeah.
But the other exciting thing that happened yesterday is that Candace Parker was named the first female basketball player to be on the cover of NBA 2K.
She sure was. Yeah. So
that's exciting.
It was very exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a couple different covers, which they've done for a couple of years now. One has Luka Doncic. One is called like the Legend Edition, and that has KD, Dirk Nowitzki, and Kareem. And then she is on the third version of that. And an awesome accomplishment for her. Well-deserved.
Yeah.
And 2K, it's become a big part of basketball culture. Mm-hmm. There's the players play it. Mm-hmm. Luckily in last year's game, they added a whole WNBA component of it. So you can do almost all of the same stuff in the WNBA than you can in the NBA. Hopefully that will continue to improve. Gaming and esports have become such a bigger part of our lives. And specifically basketball culture. 2K is such a cultural thing with basketball. So, really cool that Candace Parker is on the cover.
Very cool. Yeah. Just a couple of quick things. I was listening to one of my favorite basketball podcasts other than ours, The Tea with A and Fee.
Mm-hmm.
They only have a couple of episodes this season. They're a little busier than when they were in the bubble. But one thing that they said is there's a new CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, coming up for the WNBA in the next couple of years. And one of the things they're discussing is if you miss games, you may be banned from playing for the year. And one of the things is if you miss training camp, you're out, which is an issue for the ladies who play internationally.
Mm-hmm.
Because those seasons overlap. And they were talking about whether, you know, the ladies get paid a lot more when they play internationally. So to be able to make more money. And then with the prospect, well, I won't be in the WNBA this season, but then I get my summer off. They might be like, well, oh, well. And we might lose some talent for a couple of seasons or something, you know, or various times at various seasons. So.
Yeah. What is this? Like, what would that accomplish?
Yeah.
For the league.
I think the league thinks it would accomplish stopping them from playing for internationally or making the international teams change their schedule. Can you change the entire rest of the world's schedule? You know, that's so American of them to think they can do that.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But, you know.
I have a solution to this.
Yeah.
Paying the players more in the WNBA so they don't have to go play internet. I'm sure they have fun, and there's probably some players that enjoy playing internationally more than they mm-hmm. like playing in the WNBA. But I would guess that most players, if they didn't need to play internationally to, you know, make money to support themselves and their families,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't. And they would just play in the WNBA and make their money and live the life of an American professional athlete.
That's right.
So there's a solution for them.
There's one. The last thing about the WNBA that I wanted to bring up was the issue that the Liberty had last week with plane travel.
Oh, yes.
So they were traveling to Indiana. The plane was delayed. They sat on the plane on the runway for hours and hours and hours. Then they were let off, and then the plane was canceled. And they had to fly very close in hours to when their game was, and then they lost their game. But even before they lost their game, their next flight was canceled to get back home in order to play a game back here at home. But then they alternate travel plans were worked on. You know, the owner was like, this is ridiculous. I'm taking care of this. And figured something out. But still, that was a lot of interrupted travel and sitting in airports and things. And they didn't win that next game either. So, that has got to interrupt. And what that really made me think about is that the NBA players are not traveling commercially on, you know, Delta, JetBlue, American Airlines, whatever. So not only is it, I get that the NBA brings in a lot more money. So maybe they have jets and charters and whatever else. But it made me think that these ladies are flying commercially And still none of them have COVID cases.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
And then when they travel like within a local area, like from here to Connecticut for the sun or whatever, they like charter a bus or whatever. But like, you know, it's like all those old fashioned basketball movies we watch where the people are taking a bus to their next game. So, but that COVID thing really hit me. I was like, wait a minute, these people are flying commercially with other people in the airport and on the plane, and still they're keeping themselves safe from COVID. So,
yeah, good for the ladies, but yeah. Terrible that they just have to deal with these ridiculous things. It's just ridiculous.
That's right.
Okay, is that it for news?
That's it. Time for our next segment, movie review of the week.
And this week we watched Sunset Park.
Sunset Park, which I had never heard of.
Me neither.
Until I looked up all the basketball movies.
A 1996 flick, I believe.
Yes. Yep. Starring Rhea Perlman.
Mm-hmm.
Former wife of Danny DeVito. They were married for many years, then separated, then together again, and now they're separated, but they say they'll never divorce. So they're like, you know, still kind of a family, but, you know, more friends than married at this point.
Uh-huh.
I expected, knowing, you know, Danny DeVito, Rhea Perlman, she was on Taxi with him. I expected that this was going to be a comedy. I didn't expect that going into it because I read a little bit of a plot summary, so I was surprised that it was a drama, I guess. I mean, it was intended to be a drama.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was intended to be a drama. So, what did you think of it, Jack?
Just now, as you just asked me that, I realized that I didn't come up with a rating. So I'll have to do that as we talk here.
Okay.
Don't think this is surprising. Didn't love it. This was the story of Rhea Perlman. Her character was a
phys ed teacher.
Mm-hmm. A phys ed teacher who didn't know anything about sports somehow.
Yeah.
But who, like, her boyfriend just walked out on her and took all the stuff. And she decided that her dream was to open a restaurant somewhere down south. And so she wanted to be done with teaching and go do that. And so she took this coaching job for her, what she wanted to be her last year, so that she could just make a little extra money and go down and open the restaurant. And it's this high school in Brooklyn, Sunset Park. Mm-hmm.
Not a very good basketball team.
Not a very good basketball team. And she at first has no knowledge nor interest about basketball. She's just there to make her, you know, get her check. And then throughout the movie, she learns more about it and becomes more passionate. And the kids teach her and she teaches the kids. And
mm-hmm.
It's a great heartwarming moment at the end. That's the movie. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, it was, what did you say? It was supposed to be a drama?
Intended to be a drama.
Yeah. It felt much like multiple different movies happening at once. Mm-hmm. Because there was this basketball team made up of entirely black players. There were some comments on socioeconomics and that sort of thing. And we have seen other movies about high school basketball teams that sort of fit into that same vein. And then you also have this sort of comedic Rhea Perlman character who has these like snappy one-liners and like these funny scenes with her friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to like, you know, murder somebody trials and mm-hmm. yeah mm-hmm. so it was just a lot going on at once. It didn't really fit.
You didn't ask me what I thought of it, but if you were going to ask me what I thought of it, I wrote down what do the kids say? Basic,
because
this movie to me was formulaic and completely uninventive. So it was almost like the writer, and in the writing and direction, I'm not talking about any performances or anything, but in the writing and in the direction, it was almost as if they had a little brainstorming session and were like, all right, what does a basketball movie need to contain? Uh-huh. We need a white savior. Oh, but let's make it a woman this time. Oh, that'll be great. What else? We need a bunch of black kids from a socioeconomically poor neighborhood. We need some drugs. We need some guns.
Many of them are very difficult and disrespectful at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need some romance or troubled attempted romance or things. We need, okay, check, check, check. And they just kind of slotted them in. There wasn't really there. When I was watching it, I was thinking, why did they make this? What was their point? Just so they could make a basketball movie? What did they have to say? I don't know what they had to say. Yeah. I really hated it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Antoine Tanner was in this. He played Drano and he was in Coach Carter.
That's right. He's great at that type, playing high school basketball players. Uh-huh. And that was almost 10 years later, still playing high school basketball players. I'm sure he was like 20 something in this movie and then Coach Carter. So,
also some like creepiness in it. Like, I don't want to go so far as to say like pedophilic kind of lines, but kind of creepy. Like the one guy, I don't even remember their names, because again, these characters were chosen as, this one is the, this type of person. This is the unconfident one. This is the nerdy one. That, you know, it wasn't like they were fully fleshed out, mm-hmm. but the one guy was girl crazy. And he wanted to score points and play so the girls would notice him. And Rhea Perlman's character says, they're not going to like you because you score points. And he says, how do you know? And she says, they like you for other things. He says, how do you know? She says, I'm a woman. I got eyes.
Yeah.
I was like, ew.
Yeah. And then they like went on a date together, kind of.
She and Shorty went on a date. There was some flirting going on there, too.
Yeah.
And then Terrence Howard was in this, and he played a stoner. Like, what's a stoner doing on a basketball team?
Well, that's not crazy, but...
That much of a stoner?
That much of a stoner, yeah. I'm not sure.
I mean, this guy was like a hippie stoner. This wasn't just a guy who, like, you know, dabbles in pot or whatever.
Well, it was the... Let's call it. They attempted to do a stereotype, but they did the wrong stereotype because he was this, you know, relaxed, quiet stoner guy, except when he got on the court, he was this aggressive, jump on top of you energy guy. So it... Mm-hmm. There was no connection there.
Yep. And a complete waste of casting Carol Kane in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Carol Kane is phenomenal in everything she does, and here she was just someone who got to sit in on a couple of scenes. What the heck?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe she's friends with the DeVito Perlmans, and
they do all run in the same group. Yes.
So, you know, a favor there, maybe. But but yeah. As far as I know, correct me if you have seen otherwise, but I don't think there were any NBA. Cameos.
No, I don't think so either. And I thought about it, but I didn't see any.
Yeah. So I don't even know if it's a true basketball movie. But yeah, what else about this movie? Anything else?
I don't think so.
Favorite and least favorite?
Creepiness.
Uh-huh.
That was my least favorite. Oh, also, the character of Shorty was so inconsistent in how he was written. You know, when he started, he was like the focused basketball guy who was like, I'm going to teach this coach how to coach us.
Right. And telling
all about basketball.
And telling the other guys, like, give her a chance. She's the coach now.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they had to add some tension in there. You know, there's a girl he likes who doesn't like him. And then he finds out that the coach is, quote unquote, using them to make some money to open a restaurant and things. But then he like goes completely the other way. And then at the end comes completely back.
Yeah. There were scenes where he was just a completely different character with no impetus for that.
There was a song, a Queen Latifah song in this. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, was that? Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, my most favorite, I did, like, if they did go more comedy route, I did like some of the fun, there were some funny one-liners. I forgot to write any of them down, but there were some, like, funny little jabs and stuff like that. I was like, oh, that was clever. Mm-hmm. But they didn't go all the way there. So my least favorite is just like the disjointed style of the whole thing. Just there was no, I didn't know what, was this a comedy? Was this a drama? Was this, you know, about these kids? Was this about her? I don't know. So.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you rate this movie?
One.
Okay.
Yeah. I really hated this movie.
I think I'm going to give it like a 3. I think that feels about right to me.
All right. I hated it.
So that puts it at a 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So for this next week.
Big week.
Space Jam. Yes.
Yeah. What? Now, Jack, what happens if it's so awful? What are you going to do?
As if the first one wasn't?
No, but now LeBron is in this one. What are you going to do? What? How are you going to talk about it? Are you going to be okay?
I'm really hoping that it's either everybody walks out and they're like, wait, that was actually pretty good. Like that, I was expecting a funny little kids movie and like they had some really good stuff in there. And there were funny parts and sad parts and stuff. Or like, oh my God, that was so bad. This is going to be an ironic thing that we can go back to like the first Space Jam. I really hope it's not like, oh, okay. It was, you know, they tried. It wasn't that good, but that's what I'm hoping.
If you're going to be seeing this movie with Evan S. before you see it with us, I don't want you to arrive to our movie and be like all cranky and stuff.
No, I'm gonna pretend like I didn't see it. Okay. I'm going to laugh extra loud at the jokes that I already saw. So.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're also going to watch.
I forget what it's called.
Breakaway. Not Unbreakaway. It's called Breakaway.
Breakaway, which is the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary about Maya Moore. We've talked about her many times and her stepping away from the WNBA to focus on prison reform and that sort of thing. So check both of those out before next week. Breakaway, I believe, premiered last night, I think, but it's on the ESPN app if you have that. Mm-hmm. And Space Jam is available in theaters or on HBO, I believe. So check those both out. Or maybe not HBO yet. I don't know.
I don't know.
But check those out before next time. And we're going to get into our last segment of the day, which is our WNBA midseason awards. So we gave out our award predictions at the beginning of the season in May. And so we're going to revisit those now and give out our midseason awards. If the season ended today, who would win each of the accolades for the WNBA? And if we do think that it's going to be even a different person from, oh my goodness gracious.
What happened?
I just got a thing that was like restarting your computer in 30 seconds. So yeah, midseason awards. And then we'll say if we think it's going to be a different person by the time the real season actually ends. Okay. You go first with wherever you want to start.
Okay, so originally for most improved player, I picked Jazz Jones.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just because I like her.
Yeah.
But I'm watching the season and she's really improving. And also, when she runs up into the audience and does a tumble over the bars, I haven't seen anyone else do that. So I am sticking with Jazz Jones now. And through the end, all of mine that if I changed any for now, I'm sticking with them through the end. So whatever my midseason prediction is my end of season prediction.
Okay. I did some changes between now and the end just to switch it up a little, keep things interesting. Okay. But so most improved, I'm starting. I've talked about her a few times. Marina Mabry from the Dallas Wings.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get a lot of playing time last year, but she's coming off the bench this year. She's averaging 14 points, 4.5 rebounds and 3 assists, I believe. She's one of the league's best 3-point shooters. And so I think that she is going to win most improved. However, in the end, I'm predicting that it will be for the second straight year, B'nai Jelani.
She's on a trajectory.
She is. She had a great start to this season. Mm-hmm. And she's cooled off a little bit in the last couple of weeks, but she's averaging 19 points, which puts her at 6th in the league in scoring. She also has the most assists of any forward in the league. And she went from being cut from Indiana 2 years ago to being an all-star, sixth leading scorer in the league this year, you know, certified star on what looks like it'll be a playoff team. So super impressive. She's taken an extra leap this year, and I'm expecting a hot second half from her. She's not playing in the Olympics, so she'll have the next month off to rest up and work. And unfortunately, I do think the Liberty will be on the playoff bubble, so she will have to work extra hard to make sure that we're still in the playoffs.
And Indiana had no all-stars.
Yeah, and they cut her, and now look at her. So that's mine. All right.
All right. What's next?
Okay, I guess I'll do next. I'll just go next up on the list, sixth woman of the year. For this one, I'm also going with Marina Mabry. I think she'll win them both. Well, no, I think Marina Mabry would win most improved now, but I think Laney is winning in the end. I think Marina Mabry will win sixth woman now and at the end for all the reasons listed.
Okay. I have a hard time with this six-woman thing because I don't know enough of the other teams to know enough about this. So I'm just going to stick with Odyssey Sims, which is who I picked at the beginning, because this is not an easy category for me. You know, I think Dee Dee has done a good job on the Liberty, but I don't know that she, if we were to look at the whole league, if she's like the one who, you know, who should win that. I'm sure there are others who've done even better, but I'm not that familiar with them. So I'm just going to stick with the Odyssey.
Okay, cool. What's next?
Defensive player of the year. I had said Candace Parker. And this one's also hard for me because I don't even always know what's a defensive player versus an offensive player because they can do both. They all do both. So like, but I switched it up to Jonquel Jones.
Yeah, great pick.
Yeah. You know, from what I've seen recently, that's why I picked her. And I'm keeping her for the end of the year, too.
Yeah, Jonquel Jones, was close to my pick here. It wasn't, but she's had a fantastic both offensive and defensive season. She's in the top 10 in blocks, I think, and the top 15 in steals. She has one of the maybe she's second in the league in defensive rating, I think I saw today. So that is a great pick. I'm going with Sylvia Fowles of the Lynx. She is currently second in both steals per game and blocks per game. So that's pretty crazy for anybody to do that. And she also has an awesome defensive rating. So I'm going with her now and at the end of the year. Rookie of the year, I'm guessing this will be pretty simple.
Yeah.
Michaela Onyewede. Ready? Oh, sorry.
I was gonna say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Michaela Onyewede. Now and for the end of the year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I don't think it's particularly close. She's leading all rookies in points, leading all rookies in assists, leading all rookies in 3-pointers made. She's third amongst rookies in blocks and rebounds. She
is the rookie.
She is the rookie. I think she's also the only rookie that is starting consistently in the league. Far and away, definitely wins this mid-season. Unless something crazy happens, she'll win it.
She has slowed down a little the last couple of games, so I hope the All-Star and Olympics break give her a chance to recoup and sit in the sun and enjoy herself and, you know, get some love from her grandma and come back ready to roar.
Yeah, that's right. She was at the All-Star festivities last night, her and Rashonda Gray. I think they went together to go just watch and support Sammy and Benaja.
You know what I love about the Liberty is they all seem to really enjoy being together.
Yeah, they do. They really do. They're fun to watch on the bench and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other teams, I'm not saying other teams don't like each other other than, you know, the whole Kennedy Carter thing, but I'm not saying those teammates don't like each other, and they do seem to, you know, everybody was supportive of each other at the 3-point and everything else, but like the Liberty seem to really, really like each other.
Yeah.
I love that.
They do. Sabrina was there too. She was sitting up with Vanessa Bryant. But I'm not familiar with all the faces of the players in the league, but it did seem like the Liberty had the most non-all-star, non-3-point competitors there just to have fun and support. So I really liked that.
Yeah.
Okay, I think you're up next.
Coach of the year. Since this is going to have to be someone who's like on the one of the winningest teams, I'm just going to stick with Laimbeer.
Okay. Of the Aces, right?
Yeah.
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 I am sticking with Walt Hopkins.
Yeah. You're a Walt fan.
Listen, they have overperformed expectations this year. They have some great players, but, and I know some fans have not been thrilled with all of his decisions, but they have vastly outperformed expectations this year. And I do think that a lot of that has to do with him. Also, one thing that I did take note of, like, it was sort of a risk to start Onyenwede right from the beginning. She was the starter right from the first game. And to, you know, put that much faith in the rookie is also saying something about the coach. And clearly he was right about that. So I do think that is another feather in his cap. I just want to throw another name in there. I would not be surprised if the Lynx coach, Cheryl Reeve, wins this, because they're also outperforming. I think they're the 4 seed right now. And they have won 8 of their last 10, thanks in no small part to a recent addition.
Yes, that's right.
But they've been surging, and if that continues, I wouldn't be surprised if her name is in that conversation as well. Mm-hmm. All right, and then last one, MVP. I originally said Candace Parker, I believe. Yes, and I am going with Jonquel Jones. We already talked about her defensively. She's also second in the league in scoring. She's first in rebounds. And the Sun are the third best team in the league. So I think that all contributes, and I think that she'll win it.
Before I hit my MVP, I just want to add an extra little category called Best Dressed. Now, when all the ladies from all the teams are, and this happens in the men's teams too, are arriving to game day, there's a lot of great fashion going on. Uh-huh. So there's a lot to compete with, but I don't know that anyone is cuter than De'Arica Hamby and her daughter, who often dress alike. And that little girl, she knows how to use the red carpet. So, you know, best dressed, I'm going to go with the Hambys. So my MVP, I originally went with Sloot.
Right.
But I'm changing it up. So my new pick is Arike Ogunbowale.
Great pick.
She is fierce. And so I'm going with her.
She sure is. That would make a great season. All-star game MVP and regular season MVP could be super impressive. So,
yeah. So there we go.
All right. So that's the W Midseason Awards.
And that's it for episode 29. Send in questions, comments, movie thoughts, and guest suggestions to familycourtvision@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @famcourtvision. And don't forget to subscribe or follow on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next week on Family Court Vision,
the mother of all basketball podcasts.